and get out of the government maze. Hutchison & Stephan, your go-to law firm for administrative and regulatory law matters.
Newsmakers, newsbreakers, and everything in between. Live and local with Kevin Wall, weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
Are you ready? Hey, are you ready for this? Are you hanging on the edge of your seat?
And this hour of Live and Local brought to you by the Libre Initiative. You know, when you see the letters BLM in a sentence, you always think of Black Lives Matter. But there's another BLM, and it's the Bureau of Land Management. And they control about 80% of the land here in the state of Nevada. We're going to talk with somebody who is very plugged in. And in fact, his organization has filed a complaint, an ethics complaint, against BLM, not Black Lives Matter. No. We'll talk about that more coming up on AM 670 KMZQ, where news is next.
Care Group, buying life insurance has never been easier. Whatever you need, life insurance, health insurance, or even long-term care, we can help. Call 702-396-9449. The MultiCare Group has access to all the best markets for your needs. Life insurance quotes are available right now, and they're very inexpensive. In this uncertain world, you need affordability. If you're a male 50, you can buy life insurance of $500,000 for only $41. That's $41 a month. Give us a call today for your no-obligation quote. We provide you with all the personal services you need. And the best part, we will always be with you every step of the way. The MultiCare Group makes buying insurance simple. You may want to inquire about long-term care. We have the most innovative plans available. Call us and find out how you can get care at your own home from a long-term care policy. Call the MultiCare Group today and get peace of mind at 702-396-9449. That's 396-9449. Call us today.
Broadcasting live from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, AM 670 KMZQ, Las Vegas. Locally owned and operated by Kemp Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
This day after President Biden and a group of senators reached agreement on a key part of the White House agenda, but it's unclear if enough senators will eventually support final passage. Among the spending amounts, $110 billion for roads and bridges, $39 billion for public transit, $66 billion for passenger and freight rail. Alaska Senator Lisa Murkowski says it was important to reach an infrastructure agreement, and not just because it's good policy.
That Republicans and Democrats can come together over really hard stuff to negotiate in good faith and to broker an agreement that is not going to work just for Republicans or for Democrats. It's going to work for the country.
A new poll shows that a majority of Americans blame Democrat policies for the skyrocketing inflation facing the country.
Americans are noticing that their hard-earned paychecks aren't stretching as far as they once were, as the cost of everyday goods like gas and groceries continue to skyrocket. Unfortunately for Senate Democrats, a new Morning Consult political poll shows that nearly 6 out of 10 Americans place the blame for record-high inflation squarely at Democrats' feet. The National Republican Senatorial Committee says that Democrats' agenda of reckless spending, job-killing tax hikes, and paying people to stay home rather than go to work is having a widespread negative impact on middle-class families. Bernie Bennett in Washington.
The governors of California and Nevada are calling for increased federal assistance as they tour an area blackened by one of several massive wildfires that have destroyed dozens of homes. Wednesday's tour of the Tamarack Fire along the state line comes as numerous wildfires char land and homes in a dozen states. A mixed day on Wall Street as the Dow was down by 127 points, but the NASDAQ rose 102. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management. I had a lot of credit card debt and I couldn't pay my bills. I was feeling so bad. I got to a point where I needed some help. So I reached out and contacted Trinity.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976 to talk to a certified counselor.
They were able to take all of my different payments and put them all together.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
And they were actually able to work with my creditors. I've been able to pay off close to $15,000 in the last 18 months.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
My name is Stephanie, and I'm debt-free for keeps.
1-800-990-6976.
A delegation of high-ranking Taliban officials is visiting China, where it held a meeting with China's Foreign Minister Wang Yi.
A Taliban delegation led by the group's deputy leader, Mullah Barada, met with China.
This is your KMZQ Newsflash. The mask mandate is back for everyone, vaccinated or not. Following the latest recommendation of the CDC, Governor Sisolak's new mandate requires everyone to wear masks indoors in public places in counties with high COVID-19 rates, which includes Clark County. Businesses have until Friday morning to comply with the new guidelines. The new guidance from the CDC also recommended universal masking for kindergarten through 12th grade students, teachers, and staff, regardless of their vaccination status. The Clark County School District says it will follow the CDC's latest guidance. Concert promoter Live Nation's going all in, offering $20 tickets to about 1,000 shows through the end of the year. The $20 discount tickets include all fees and include select Las Vegas Strip shows like Rod Stewart, Pitbull, Gwen Stefani, and Shania Twain. Tickets went on sale today at LiveNation.com. As they say in the business, for a limited time only, while supplies last.
KMCQ on-time traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers. Right now, come in for a synthetic blend oil change for just $17.95.
Well, the fact that there are no major freeway closures makes it actually an improvement right now. Only one to report, one accident on the highways. That's heading into the Northwest Valley on U.S. 95 northbound after Decatur. And if you're traveling north through the resort corridor, it's not an accident, but watch for an HP off of the side with another vehicle there on northbound 15 right before the Charleston exit. On the surface streets, on the strip, South Las Vegas Boulevard southbound at the entrance to 215, still clearing up an injury accident there. I'm Mark Thomas with your on-time traffic.
I'm Sam Peters, retired military officer, Bronze Star recipient, conservative business owner, and proud American patriot. For too long, we have felt the devastating impacts of liberal elected officials, the policies they force upon us, and sadly, those citizens that just get in line, forgetting the freedoms and liberties we have as Americans. In America, we have the right, no, the responsibility, to question our elected leaders. It takes courage, but it must be done. We must have the courage to say no to mandatory vaccines, critical race theory, socialism, and the censoring of our constitutional rights. We must hold our elected officials accountable and remind them that we elected them to represent us, not rule us. As you navigate your day today, remember, do it with conservative courage, because this is your America, and liberty still matters. This message is brought to you by Sam Peters, owner of Peters Family Insurance, a local business operating with conservative courage. Call us at 702-870-4000.
And in addition to that, we have to make sure that we are in a position that we are. Well, let me go to the second thing. I've spoken enough of that.
And what makes his wild claims and hopes, he now hopes we don't notice what he said or won't remember. And when he does follow through or doesn't do, when follow through, the exact opposite.
Check it out.
COVID has taken this year, just since the outbreak, has taken more than 100 years. Look, here's the lives. You think about it.
Don't call me stupid.
Oh, right. To call you stupid would be an insult to stupid people.
Number one. Time is running out.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
I'm not sure if you were aware of this, But 80%+ of the land here in Nevada is controlled by the federal government, by the Department of Interior, and Bureau of Land Management and folks like that. How do we keep tabs on people like that? Well, that's where organizations like Protect the Public's Trust come in. Joining us, Michael Chamberlain. He's been on before. Good to have you. He's the director at Protect the Public's Trust. What's going on, Mike?
Doing well, Kevin. Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate being back on here.
One of the things that we've been tracking, and I know you've been doing a great job of tracking it, and that is the Department of Interior and some of the problems. It's been a rather rough start for that part of our federal government in the first 6-7 months of the Biden administration.
Well, it has been, Kevin, and as you pointed out, this really has an impact on the lives of people in Nevada, because the Department of the Interior manages or most of the 80%+ of the land that is owned by the federal government in the state of Nevada. So if you get out, look out your window, you can probably look at land that's managed and controlled by the Department of the Interior if you're in the Las Vegas Valley or pretty much anywhere in the state of Nevada. So it really has an impact, and the people in this state and others, they have an interest in making sure that decisions are made in the manner that they're there to benefit the interests of the public and not the interests of former employers and spouses and clients' employers and things like that. And so at the Department of the Interior, it's been kind of seemingly kind of rough so far. The new secretary, Deb Haaland, she came in, and one of the first things that happened was her chief of staff, who was her chief of staff when she was in Congress, had to take a demotion because of what they termed lapses in judgment. And one of those was she had planned a party for more than 50 people indoors and at the department back in January. And this was to celebrate the new administration coming in. And this was back when lots of places around the country had restrictions on, you know, 25 people in a meeting, and churches could only have a certain number of people. Well, she was planning a huge party inside, indoors, in the department. So the look of that and the optics, they say, didn't bode well with the administration. So she was forced to take a lower position. Another one of the nominees that for a Senate-confirmed position is a woman named Elizabeth Klein, and she had worked for the Bloomberg Center that had sued states all over the country or had represented states who had filed lawsuits all against the Trump administration on just about everything the administration did over environmental concerns and energy during the time that the Trump administration was in office. And she was nominated to be the deputy secretary, which is the number two at the department. But when it appeared that she wasn't going to be able to get the votes to be confirmed, she was named the senior counsel to the secretary, which is still a tremendous amount of power, but she brought with it all of those conflicts from the lawsuits that she'd been involved in with the state she'd been involved in, and there were a lot of potential conflicts that she had because of the work that she'd done with the Bloomberg Center, which what they did is they funded attorneys in the attorney general's offices in states around the country. And so those attorney general's office would use those attorneys to help them file lawsuits against the administration, against the Department of the Interior. So those are just a couple of things that had happened in the first few months of the Biden administration at the Department of the Interior. And there's more.
Well, and in fact, Protect the Public's Trust, if I'm not mistaken, has filed a complaint with the Inspector General. Explain what that's all about.
We recently filed a complaint with the Inspector General, and this is actually our second complaint with the Inspector General at the Department of the Interior. But this one concerns a gentleman who was appointed to work in the solicitor's office, and he is the top attorney in one of the offices within the solicitor's office. And in the last days of the Trump administration, on January 14th, a group of non-political career staff had written a memo And it changed some definitions, or it interpreted some definitions in a law that was passed about 30 years ago. And so what that would have done, potentially, is reduce some of the fees that and contributions that water and power users would have had to pay to support some activities on the Klamath River in California. And it gets kind of detailed, but when he came into his new office, political appointee, his name is Daniel Cordalis, in June, he wrote a memo that rescinded the earlier memo that was written by the career staff. And what it did is it essentially would have changed the definition back to the way it was, but the effect of that would have been increasing the fees that were paid by the water and power users and increasing the amount of money that went into what was called a restoration fund. Well, one of the entities that had benefited from that restoration fund was the Yurok Tribe. And it turns out Mr. Cordalis had the Yurok Tribe as one of his clients as recently as January of this year. And in fact, that tribe still employs his wife. And so political appointees are supposed to avoid situations where there's a potential conflict of interest or where there could be the perception that they're, the decisions aren't made for the benefit of the public. And they're supposed to consult with ethics officials and receive approval prior to participating personally and substantially in a matter where a reasonable person with knowledge of the relevant facts would question their impartiality. So it appears on its face that Mr. Cordalis may have acted in contravention or may have violated both the ethics pledge that every political appointee is supposed to sign or did sign when they came to join the Biden administration, and potentially federal law, which bars political appointees from engaging in particular matters that involve former clients and their spouses' employers.
Again, Michael Chamberlain joining us. Explain for folks that don't know, protect the public's trust. Is it what the name implies?
It absolutely is. What we're looking for is to help restore the public's faith and protect the public's trust in the federal government. It's at its lowest level right now, and officials acting in ways that violate their oaths and their pledges and potentially violate the law, and that kind of erodes at the Americans' trust in their government. And it makes them question decisions and not trust that they're made in a manner that would benefit the public. So we have been looking at incidents and individuals who've been working in the executive branch of the government and identifying and educating the public about potential conflicts of interest, possible misconduct, violations of the pledges that they've signed, potential violations of federal law that they may, and conflicts of interest that they may possibly bring from their former employers or their former clients, their spouses' employers, and just so that we're able to identify those and educate the public about them. And so we're trying to help restore the faith in the government and make sure that the rules are enforced equally, regardless of who's in office, regardless of what political party happens to control the executive branch, and regardless of which individuals are in there. Everybody should follow the same rules and be held to the same standards.
It's going to be fascinating to see if they clean up their act at Department of Interior. The first 6-7 months have not been very kind to them, and they've not been very kind to the administration. Michael, always good to visit with you. Thanks so much, my friend. We will do it again soon, okay?
I appreciate every opportunity I get to come on the show, Kevin, and speak with you and your audience. I enjoy every time.
Michael, thank you. Michael Chamberlain, he is the director at Protect the Public's Trust. Stay where you are. Coming up, you got to hear this. Jim Jordan was supposed to be on that January 6th committee that Nancy Pelosi was spearheading, but he got kicked off. And I thought it would be good to let you hear from Jim Jordan himself after day one. And so many of these congressmen didn't get a chance to watch any of it because they have committees and floor stuff that they're doing. And they simply didn't, they weren't available to sit in their office and watch all of this testimony yesterday. We'll talk about that and more on AM 670 KMZQ.
Listen to your radio again on the weekend. On Sunday, you can enjoy The Jesus Christ Show, Gun Talk, Frontlines of Freedom, and Hillary Kramer's Millionaire Maker. AM 670 KMCQ. Talk radio done right.
It's finally happened. We're finally free. Hey, Kevin Wall here, and my friends at Ichabod's Lounge are at 100% capacity with the same old Vegas atmosphere customers have come to expect for more than three decades. Ichabod's, even after a pandemic, it's still one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas with the best promotions and amazing monthly cash giveaways and payouts. As they say at Ichabod's, we manage with generosity. When everyone else is cutting back, Ichabod's continues to super serve its customers and now super serving mask-free. Ichabod's Lounge features an incredible menu, including steaks, seafood, burgers, pastas, and five daily specials. And at Ichabod's Lounge, their kitchen is open 24/7 for you late-night foodies. Check out their nightly entertainment at the Piano Bar. I just love it. You want to win? You want to celebrate our freedom? Then I'll see you at Ichabod's Vintage Vegas Dining, Gaming Lounge, and Piano Bar on East Flamingo at Pecos.
This is Lee Habib, and I get asked all the time why we do all of those segments on Our American Stories about people who found the American dream. And we do it because it's true. This country has great stories to tell, and we tell them on this station every night. Because one thing I've learned is this, there's an American story in all of us. Join me for Our American Stories right here.
Heard nightly, Monday through Friday, 10 p.m. to midnight, and Sunday, 9 a.m. to noon, only on AM 670.
Hi, I'm State Senator Scott Hammond. These are difficult times for all of us, a time set apart, but our Las Vegas community has always come together when we need to. We all have a part to play, and it is heartwarming to know that our community is strong enough to fight this. Many of you also have questions or concerns, which is why I have compiled as much information and resources on my website as possible. Please visit HammondForNevada.com/COVID-19. That's HammondForNevada.com/COVID-19. Paid for by Friends of Scott Hammond.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Tom and Levi.
Tom is the smartest man I know. He's been a professor at two major universities. He's been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, he told me that he was having problems in his classes. I think one of the students had asked the question, and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. And he was telling them that he was doing it as a favor to them, but I think in reality, he just wanted to get out of there. I was really starting to worry because I saw something was wrong.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me, and my love for him was just immense.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Meals from those years are hard to forget. It was all white bread and whole milk, hamburger casseroles, and quiche Lorraines, all with a side of cigarettes. We ate salads as desserts. We knew a party was classy if it had a cheese log. And we never missed an after-dinner smoke. It didn't matter if we were in our dining rooms, a burger joint, or the ritziest of restaurants. There'd be an ashtray on every table. And that very particular flavor in every meal. We smoked for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It's amazing that our food could taste like anything else. If that was you then, get your lungs screened now. Surviving lung cancer starts with a scan. Learn more at screenyourlungs.org. This PSA was made possible by industry funding and guidance from lung cancer patient groups.
It's all about Las Vegas. Live and local with Kevin Wall. Weekday afternoons 3 to 6 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
Don't you love her badly? Don't you need her badly?
And this hour brought to you by Concerned Veterans for America. I don't know how many of you caught the January 6th committee. It's better known as the House Select Committee on the events of January 6th. It's nothing we didn't already know. I don't think anybody can say, oh my gosh, I didn't know that that happened. The fact is that you've seen the videotape, you've seen all of it, and there's tons that you have not seen that may be exculpatory in nature. But the fact is that the Republicans were denied an opportunity to have their people on this committee, including Congressman Jim Jordan. And that's why I thought it'd be interesting to find out his reaction to day one of this committee. This was cut three. This is cut three. This is Jim Jordan, the congressman from Ohio. He's my new personal hero, by the way. And his reaction to day one of the January 6th committee.
Did you see the hearing today?
I got to watch part of it, but actually I was in another committee, another select committee, one that Speaker Pelosi has allowed me to be on, the Coronavirus Select Committee. So I got to watch bits and pieces, but I was actually in a committee hearing asking questions and making statements.
You saw the review there by Chad, obviously emotional, powerful testimony. Your thoughts about that?
No, it was a terrible day, and the people who did wrong need to be held accountable. And, Brett, that's exactly what's happening. The real question is, and I've said this many times, is why weren't those guys who testified today and all the other Capitol Hill police who protect this and protect Capitol Hill, why weren't they given more help? Why wasn't more help there that day? And the only person who can answer that question is the Speaker of the United States House of Representatives. And I think she thought we were going to keep raising that question, and that's why she didn't put me on. Because remember, Brett, there was a story in Politico last Wednesday morning, which means the Speaker's office talked to the press the day before that said, the headline said, Democrats accept Leader McCarthy's selections, and then something changed. And I think it's the fact that I raised that issue last Tuesday. That fundamental question is the one that needs to be answered, and the fact that we're going to continue to raise that, I think, is the reason we're not on the committee.
How would you have asked that today?
Well, today, I think the folks today was on why we didn't have more people there. So I asked these guys, did you need one of the officers, I think part I did see part of this where he said we weren't prepared for what was going to happen. Why weren't you? Why wasn't the information given to you? There have been news reports that said Speaker Pelosi vetoed bringing the National Guard here. And then the day of the attack, there's been news reports that said she hesitated on calling up the National Guard. Why? Why not? My hunch is, Brett, my hunch is because what happened all last summer? Last summer, we saw Speaker Pelosi and the Democrats say that we should defund the police. We saw Speaker Pelosi and the Democrats say that rioters and looters who attack police, destroy small business, and hurt innocent civilians, they actually raise money to bail them out of jail. So when that's the background, it's kind of tough to say we're for defunding the police, but oh, by the way, we want more police here to protect us on January 6th.
Here's Congressman Jeffries addressing what you're talking about there and Speaker Pelosi.
Well, the fact that Kevin McCarthy continues to blame Speaker Pelosi is just such a sick and cynical act of diversion and distraction. Those rioters, those protesters, were there in part to assassinate Nancy Pelosi. What does Kevin McCarthy not get about that?
Your response?
No one's blaming anyone for what happened that day except the people who did wrong. Those are the people to blame. And guess what? They're being prosecuted just like our system is supposed to work. We're just asking a fundamental question. A fundamental question. If there are news reports that said that Speaker Pelosi vetoed having the National Guard there, that the Sergeant of Arms said that the Speaker's office told him they were concerned about the optics, that's a real question. That's a fundamental question. Why wasn't there a proper security posture on January 6th? And what have we done to correct that and so it makes sure it doesn't happen in the future? I think those are fundamental questions. It's not about blame. The blame resides with the people who did wrong. They should be prosecuted, and they are being.
There you have it. I'll just tell you, Congressman Jim Jordan, I think, is a stand-up guy. And I love it when he speaks truth to power. Don Lemon, last night, I don't know if you saw this, but Liz Cheney now is the new hero of the left, especially after day one of a testimony before that Select House Committee on the January 6th hearings. This I found fascinating, and this is from CNN last night. This is cut number two, Don Lemon responding to Liz Cheney. Here it is.
The big lie that lit the flame that exploded into an inferno at our nation's capital that day, the big bogus lie that the election was stolen, well, who do they think stole it?